Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Holy Crap, the Vlogcast. Vlogcast that comes from a skeptical point of view to try to answer some of the questions of why. This vlogcast started as a combination of spite and the Streisand effect when somebody on Facebook said, we're just posting stuff up on here because we find it fun and we think it's maybe worthwhile. Just because it's wrong doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with posting it. I mean, just take your stupid logic somewhere else. Yeah, because that works on me. There's the expression that says that sometimes the journey is more important than the destination. That's exactly the reason for this vlogcast in the first place. I am known as Shujin Tribble around all over the place. You can find me pretty much anywhere under that name. I was born into a Roman Catholic household in Brooklyn, New York. I grew up on Long Island. I now live outside of Buffalo, New York, and I am an unabashed atheist. Joining on the roundtable tonight is Unrenowned Tech.
Hi, people. I was born in Maryland, but I was actually raised in New York, much to my benefit. I come from a mixed religious background, and while most people were born with a silver spoon in their mouth, I was born with brass knuckles on my fists.
You think I would have had that instead? And also joining us is Joe.
Hi, everybody. Joseph Cox, or Joe C., or sometimes known as Joseph Murray, as my family's Irish. That's our original name, the original name that we immigrated with. Born in Chicago, raised in a Roman Catholic family. Served 8 years in the armed forces, now living as a graphic designer in Pittsburgh as an atheist.
Okay. So, it is June 29th, 2014. This is episode number 22. Yes, I'm actually giving you an actual episode number this time. Yes, this is a fluff episode. Shove it. I had three possible people or groups that I contacted to see about being on with us tonight, and nothing came of it. So, kind of at the last minute before I left earlier today for the ride for Roswell, which I'll tell you about in a couple moments, I had to come up with a topic, because, you know, topics are topical. So I decided that tonight we're going to end up talking about conventions, because we're going to be off next week for the largest anthropomorphics convention. See, I got anthropomorphics out, but I couldn't say the word convention there for a second. That's great. That's great. I love it. In the world, and it was Anthrocon. I'm going to talk about that in a couple moments, amongst others. So, if you'd like to join us and ask questions of us, we've got various different things that we're going to end up talking about. If you're here on the Google Hangout live with us, of course, first off, thank you. You can take advantage of the question and answer system wherever it is on the video system. I don't know where. Just punch in whatever your question is or comment, and I'm more than happy to tackle that for you. For those of you that are watching after the fact, thank you. We know full well that this is not exactly a sexy podcast, but we find something worthwhile out of it, and we certainly hope that you do too.
What are you talking about?
I
bring all the sexy.
Gentlemen, yeah, gentlemen, gentlemen, stop, stop, stop. You cannot out-epic my beard.
If we can see it.
Wow, that's nice.
The reason why it's so pixelated is because of how epic it is. You want this to not get censored, right?
Well, he's got the Unix, the super user beard. Leave it go. You're welcome. Anyway, before we get to the whole thing of it all, a little something that was funny that happened, or at least I found it funny this week. One of the manager type people out where I work, no, is not directly, you know, managerial to me, had overheard me talking to one of the other people about being an atheist, and he actually looked over curiously and said, "Wait, you're an atheist?" Now, I've had this question come up a couple of times before, and I've usually gone with the answer of, "Well, I thank you, I appreciate your sentiment, but I don't share the same beliefs as what you do." try to be nice, because I kind of feel it's like the Peter Principle. If you've ever read the Peter Principle, you'll know somewhere in the first chapter or so, he actually goes ahead and says, if you read beyond this point, your mind is going to be blown. Everything that you thought that you knew is going to be turned on its head. If you really don't want that, now's the time not to do that.
Parental discretion is advised.
Well, sort of.
I prefer the roadhouse analogy. Be nice. Always be nice. Until it's time to not be nice.
Here's that. In any case.
Patrick Swayze Christmas this year.
That being the case, I decided that instead of just saying some other kind of platitude, I just said, yes. Yes, as a matter of fact, I am. And it was interesting to watch the blue screen of death suddenly pass before his eyes as his brain reset, as kind of tilted his head over, kind of like the Victrola dog, and then asked me, well, what do I say to you when you sneeze? I mean, you don't believe in, like, the stuff, right? Now, unfortunately, at this point, things started moving around. I had to leave from the delivery that I was making over there. And the next day, I got to see him over at the other facility, and I said to him, you asked me last time, you know, if I sneeze, what do you say? Well, what do you say now? And he half thought about it, and he said, I'd say, God bless you. And I looked at him, and I smiled, and I would say, thank you. Wait, but you don't believe in that stuff, right? Yes. But you saying God bless you is just your way of saying, I hope that you stay healthy. I hope whatever it is that you've got that made you sneeze is not a bad thing.
Or is not the plague.
I wished you good health.
Joe, you laugh. You're laughing, but seriously, sneezing is the first sign of the bubonic plague.
I know.
And if a bowl can make a comeback...
Yes. But the point of it is, just because it's alright, he'll come back. But the point of it is, just because some of us happen to be atheists, or more importantly, don't share the same faiths or the same beliefs as some other people, something innocuous like, God bless you, because you sneeze, is not something to take a pitchforks over. Remember, just because it's part of the vernacular doesn't mean that they're trying to proselytize to you. Sometimes they're actually trying to say, I hope you're doing all right. And sometimes it's worth just leaving it go with that.
And if I may add my 2 cents onto that, it's gotten to a point in our society where it's reflex.
Exactly. Okay.
It's reflex that when somebody sneezes to say, God bless you, or Gesundheit, or salute, or any number of things depending on where you live. My culinary arts teacher used to say salute all the time because he had worked with largely a Hispanic population in the food service industry. And it became common for him to do that just so that everybody understood what he was talking about. And it just means to your health.
Exactly.
That's all it means. It's actually not, salute is not religious in any way, shape, or form, but it is Spanish for to your health. And there's Gesundheit, which is similar to your health. Then there's a whole bunch in Russian that actually has, where if somebody else hears, they're supposed to tack on another phrase on top of it to double benefit your health.
It's kind of interesting.
It goes on, man. There's some really cool things that people do depending on whether somebody sneezes or coughs. And some really interesting backgrounds as how they occurred, like the God bless you part. That one it's theorized that it was made popular during the bubonic plague, but people were starting to say that long before it.
Yeah, no. Before God bless you, they just, you know, burn you at stake.
For sneezing? Really?
They've done it for stranger reasons.
I don't think they've done that for sneezing. Eating an onion and living through the process, or a tomato and living through the process, I would imagine yes.
But if you were to consider it as a way of preventing the disease from spreading, that would seem to be a pretty viable methodology.
I would have been screwed growing up then because of my allergies.
There is that.
There's the one little boy who keeps sneezing. He never gets sick, and all the rest of us keep getting sick. He's a witch! Burn him!
Or you could just build a bridge out of it.
Fake one.
There you go.
They put this on me.
But on the same kind of idea as the God bless you thing, there's something that I catch some flack for every now and then. Call me old-fashioned, but when I was raised that if you are at the door and you're about to go into a building or come out of a building and someone is approaching, that you kindly take a step back and hold the door open for them.
Oh, absolutely.
Man, woman, doesn't matter.
Or at least if it's a gentleman, open the door and then hold it open behind you. Reach back as you pass through, so that way they have a chance to hold it too. Indeed. That's how I was raised. Women always hold it.
And yet I have received some flack from the more outspoken individuals of the feminist movement persuasion. And they've come at me with, you know, everything from, you're just trying to, you know, be a chauvinist, saying that I'm not strong enough to hold open a door, or, you know, look, I'm just trying to be nice. Jeez. It has nothing to do with you. It has nothing to do with you being a woman. It is everything to do with you being a human being, a being that I respect the value thereof.
And it's always good to respect folks. In any case,
you respect people until they give you a reason not to.
Well, I get more thank yous when I open the door for people of my generation or older than I do, and from the very young generation, than I do the generation that was just after mine. Go figure. And believe it or not, I actually had a date where I held open the door. She's like, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm holding open the door for you." "Why?" I said, "Because that's how I was raised." "That's weird." "Yeah, this date's not going anywhere." And I was like,
"Where was this date from?"
It doesn't matter. It was when I was still living up in New York.
So the 20th century.
It was one of those cases of, you know what? You and I, no, this isn't going to happen.
All right. So, as far as conventions are concerned, there are a lot of different ones, and they fall under a lot of different auspices, under a lot of different categories, with a whole bunch of different things that they cover. You name something that people would do in their free time, and chances are there is a convention for it. Especially for those that are in various technological professions. Tech.
Easy there, easy.
So, to show off one, to give you an idea, fortunately, I was at the Ride for Roswell earlier today. For those of you that have been paying attention to it, 1409 and 1408 were myself and the little one. And we were scheduled to be on the 10-mile course. Somehow or other, they shuttled us onto the 3-mile course. Don't know why. I'm telling the little one we need to make it up next year and do 20 miles, but she's not really high on that idea just yet. Whatever. However, I did wear, and yes, this is a free plug. Which way is it over here? There it is. I did wear my Fernando's t-shirt. For those of you that are familiar with Anthrocon, it's one of the things we're going to talk about in a moment, there is the free mecca, if you will, which is known as Anthrocon, which is the world's largest anthropomorphics arts convention in the world. Some 5,000 plus close warm personal friends are going to be there, and I will be there, Joe will be there, Dallin and Witchy, of whom, you know, safe travels. Witchy's had some extra medication that is dragging her ass out, so she's not joining us. Dallin is on the road at the moment, and will see us in Pennsylvania, in Pittsburgh. So that's okay. That's okay.
Being that I live here, it's all of a 30-minute drive for me, so...
That's okay. Anyway, the Ride for Roswell is an amazing event. It is 8,500 plus people, most of which are on bicycles, riding as part of this event, fundraiser for the Roswell Park Cancer Institute.
Triple?
Shu, you are breaking up.
Susan.
Right, Triple?
Hey, Joe, for some reason on my end, your video went to your icon. But I can hear you.
But that would probably be because the host of the show is suddenly gone. Uh-oh.
The host has disappeared. The show is still live. What do we do? Let's see. Where's
Get out of here with your English niggets before I taunt you a second time.
Where's my copy of Richard Dawkins' The God Delusion? Page 1, chapter 1. Or chapter 1, page 1.
Oh, God.
Oh, I might as well plug a book while I'm out here. There is a book by an author named Stavros. It's called Blood Junkie. What he did is he went around and he researched a bunch of vampiric lore all over the world and created a new genre of vampire. And he took a pretty cool premise on it, that the vampires are actually, you have a parasite that lives inside of you. And the parasite actually ends up growing like a tree. It grows all these little tendrils.
I know you can't see me, but I'm holding up my finger for just a minute. Shujin has also just died on Skype, so I think he has gone bye-bye entirely. I think Frank has disagreed with him.
It's quite possible. Can you see my video?
Yes, I can see your video just fine.
That's weird. Hold on, let me try clicking on your picture. Or Sujin. Ooh, I can't see yours, but if I click on Sujin's and get his little icon, I can see your miniature video.
Okay.
So I can see that.
Yeah, you're on the big screen for me right now.
Gotcha. Oh, so you get to enjoy my visage.
What I can see of it, yes.
Yeah, here, let me take off my shirt for you.
We are technically still live.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah. Save that for later.
Yeah.
So anyway, basically, it's a parasite that it ends up feeding off of blood. So you have no blood in your body, but it fills the void that is your collapsed veins and arteries and everything else, keeping everything else basically supplying you with life and everything else. The sun doesn't actually kill you, so
but,
you know they.
But table salt might.
No, it has an allergic reaction to silver. So if I was wearing my silver ring on my finger, what would happen is the tendrils that of this parasite would leave the veins and arteries, all the blood vessels and everything else in this finger, and this finger would basically. Would go limp, but the rest of my hand would still work.
In the words of Ernest P. Worrell, all I can say to that is,
well, it's a really interesting concept. Blood Junkie is actually a prequel.
Shujin may be back.
Okay. It's actually a prequel to the series that he's creating. He's already come out with book one. The Blood Junkie book actually sets it up. And it gives a ton of history. I mean, the way the guy wrote, you'd think this was actually real. The history he creates for it is fantastic.
Shujin had a network barf. He's back up on Skype. He has joined the call. And is he back?
Yeah, but here's the question. He may be back, but is he still in control of it?
Oh, dear.
First off, let's make sure I am actually still here. Yes, I am finally here. And apparently this does show that I am live, which I can only assume to mean that we are still recording.
Yes, we have been recording ever since. He made a plug, and I made some jokes.
And you missed the part with the gerbil.
Lovely.
We're leaving Richard Gere out of this.
Appreciate that. All right, short version. Apparently I had some networking issue that suddenly just said, okay, you're not part of the call anymore, so try again later. I've not had this happen in quite a while before, so all I did was reset the router and the modem, and everything's
okay.
Happening again.
It's okay. It happens to everybody.
Well, tech went to sleep a few episodes ago. Your computer went to sleep this episode. It happens.
Ah, jeez. I knew this was coming.
Yes, well, such is what happens. So, let me backtrack just a little bit. Where I had left off was referring to the Roswell Park Cancer Institute here in Buffalo. They are an incredibly wonderful group of people. It is an amazing facility. Young or old, patient or not, you are treated with amazing, amazing grace from these people. And I don't have a problem with saying it that way. They are positively amazing. That is part of the reason why I go back every year, even though it's on, as much as I don't like the word anniversary of when my wife died, I go back to the nurse's station and I bring them home-cooked dinner because what they go through on a daily basis, I simply cannot fathom, even though I've been through part of it.
I have a question for you, Suge.
Sure.
Are any of the nurses that were at the nurse's station this year, or were they any of the ones that were there when Fusion was still there?
Surprisingly enough, there is at least one that does recognize us on site. Several of the others have moved on to different wings, different wards, in the west instead of the east.
Uh-oh.
You're starting to lose it again.
That's not a good thing. Everything looks fine on my side as far as I can tell.
Well, we just lost your video.
No, your video is sporadic at best, okay. But I'm hearing your voice. So why don't you just keep talking? We'll let you know if you die out.
Oh, excellent. That's perfect. That's exactly what I needed to know. Like I said, some of the nurses are still there. Some have moved to different wings, to the pediatrics ward, for instance. But we're still recognized, and even though it's mostly a new group, they still appreciate it. They understand. What are you laughing for, Joe?
Well, because I did this number. And flashed his light or something.
Appreciate that.
We're having too much damn fun.
Hey, your connection's stable now.
I wish I could say the same for you.
There's nothing stable about us.
Yeah. So anyway, as far as to a convention is concerned, in a sense, right for Roswell, I guess technically kind of qualifies this one. It's all a bunch of people coming together for a similar cause and doing a good deed, which in the grand scheme of things is really what it's all about.
Except
I have done... Yes?
Except the major difference between a convention and the Ride for Roswell is that there's nobody in a hotel room dressed up like Captain Kirk having sex with a chick covered in green body paint. Tech, I'm looking at you.
I've never done it either, dude.
I'm just waiting for something to update on my side.
Yeah, I mean, quite honestly, the last convention I was at was I was taking a friend to MonsterCon, and I got to meet Robert Englund, and that was awesome. That guy is awesome. If you treat him like a human being, there was a fangirl fawning all over him, and he's just like, he had this look on his face of like, please just move along. But when I told him, you know, I said, hey, dude, I'd like to shake your hand. I'd like to thank you. It looks like we lost Sujin. But he asked me why. And I told him, I said, dude, your Nightmare on Elm Street movies gave me nightmares. And he kind of looked like, oh, geez, here it comes. And I said, those were the only nightmares I ever had, and so I treasure them greatly. And he said, did you bring a camera? You know, his reaction just suddenly 180'd and is like, do you have a camera? And I said, there's one built in my phone. He's like, good. You're going to come sit down next to me and you're going to get your picture taken with me. And I was like, I didn't pay the 20. He's like, sit. Yes, sir. So I got my picture taken with him and then he shook my hand and I said, thank you, sir. And he smiled. And it was quite awesome. It really was an awesome experience to meet him. But you just gotta when you meet the people, if you are a fan meeting somebody that you really like meeting, or you really wanted to meet, and you get the chance to, don't fawn over them. Don't go, you know, don't squee and all that shit. Save the squee for later when you're with your friends. But treat them like a human being. Show them some respect, and understand that they've got 100 or 100,000 people coming after them. Keep it short, sweet, thank them for their time, shake of the hand, signature, whatever the case might be, and move on. And they'll respect you for that, too.
Oh, Tribble.
I don't know if he's sleeping or what.
No, his computer is.
At least it's not snoring.
Yeah. That would be an improvement, at least.
Well, if we're going to talk about conventions, the one that I used to like to go to before they were shut, before they were basically, they kind of just stopped, was one called CastleCon, and it was old-style medieval themes. I actually worked security for a couple nights one year so that I could get in for free. If you work, you get in for free. So I enjoyed the con during the day, and I didn't sleep at night, and I worked the security, which was really cool because one of the guys on the security team was a biochemist, and he figured out how to make brownies containing massive quantities of caffeine. Here's the source.
That's not exactly where I thought that was going.
Right. No. These brownies were called Damn, and he figured out how to cook all the ingredients so that it was safe to eat. But here's the sources of caffeine. The natural source of caffeine in the chocolate. The natural source of caffeine in the instant coffee. The freeze-dried coffee. The natural caffeine in the ground-up caffeine pills. And you would eat one cubic inch of this stuff, because he would cut them out into, he had a baking pan and measured it out and he cut them out into 1-inch cubes. And I was wired for 8 hours. There was that much caffeine in these brownies.
Did it taste like a brownie?
Oh, it tasted like a fantastic brownie.
Okay.
It tasted great. The guy figured out how to cook all the ingredients without letting the caffeine escape in the baking process.
Excuse me.
So it was just, dude, it was a shock to the system. I was doing laps around the building.
Not only do we have no official topic, but we also have no host.
Nope, the host is back.
For now.
And plus, I got a belly dancer to give me a back rub.
Or is he? There he is. What did you do, Ray?
I do not know. Am I actually on?
Yes. It's a Sneak Puff Marshmallow Man.
Okay. I do not know how long we're going to be able to do this. If I drop out again, we're just going to have to call the show, unfortunately. There is some network-related thing going on. I do not believe that it's heat-related, but at the same time, I can't rule it out. So I have no idea what's going on.
We'll open a window.
Would be all well and good, except for one itsy-bitsy teeny-tiny detail. Have you looked at the weather report over here from Buffalo?
Nope.
If it's anything like what earlier today was, it's... In the words of Bill Cosby, how long can you tread water?
Basically.
You know what? No offense, but you guys, that one went right over your heads. What? Open a window. He's on a Linux box.
Yes, yes, I know. I was going to comment on that, but...
Yeah, I would have too, but... I was trying to give you more credit than that.
We're trying to not be so nerdy.
No. I am that white and nerdy. They see me mowing my front lawn.
Tech, I will pay you to stop.
Close enough. All right, fine. Again, all right. Let's see how long this is going to last.
Well, he was talking about a convention that is medieval in genre. Would we count a Ren Faire as a brand of convention?
You could, except that it really is designed to turn one hell of a profit. It's not so much for, you don't go there to see your favorite movie actor or actress like you do at conventions, or your favorite author.
No, you go there to pretend to be your favorite movie actor or actress.
No, you go there to pretend to live like in the past, except they didn't have fried macaroni and cheese on a stick back then.
No, but they had some...
And if they had porta-potties, they probably wouldn't have had so many problems with the bubonic plague either.
This is a good point. So now we run into the small problem of trying to figure out what qualifies as a convention. Now, I was talking about the Ride for Roswell mainly because, I was there earlier today. I mean, been there, done that, got the shirt. So, quite literally. And by the way, Robert, thank you for paying attention to us. We appreciate it. So I guess what would be the necessary pieces that would qualify for a convention being a convention? I'm kind of wondering now, since you said... As far as to what would qualify as a convention, I suppose a Ren Faire is a live artistry performance, really. It's a caricature of a time long since gone when women were women and men could ogle the women to a certain degree.
Which brings me to some of my favorite women at the Ren Fairs, the washing wenches.
Yes.
You've seen them.
I've seen much of them. And with any luck, next month I will be going to Sterling, New York, to see some of this again. This should prove to be interesting. We're going for a pirate weekend. Yes, so that should be good.
Convention, noun. First definition is a meeting or formal assembly as of representatives or delegates for discussion of and action on particular matters of common concern. Basically, similar to politics.
Well, I guess what I was thinking...
Both less lies.
So I guess one of the good ways of thinking about it then would be a convention would be a gathering where people actually learn something. Which
it can also be a large formal assembly of a group of people with common interests.
Okay. So could be damn near anything. And
so the Renfest could be a convention.
I'm not so sure about that.
Common
interest, yes. But how much new information is actually being shared that fosters more understanding about said topic?
Well, when you think about it, when you see one pair of breasts in a corset, you want to see more.
Joe, I got nothing.
Well, there was a open discussion and tutorial on blacksmithing.
And not only that, each year is a different stage of actually American history, or not American, of European history in that respect in the Renaissance Festival, where they actually do a storyline of the kings.
And the last Ren Fair, the one that was here in Pittsburgh last year in September, was my first experience with archery. And I actually won a bow. And archery now is something that I enjoy because it lets me get out and lets me practice my aim without having to put too many holes in something and without having to cause a ruckus with the local police.
That's always a good thing to prevent.
And it also helps prepare you for the zombie apocalypse.
Well, for that I'd also need to wear a leather vest and grow some chin scruff. And not bathe for a few weeks.
Oh. Yeah, good point.
You should try the axe throwing. I'm not allowed to do the axe throwing anymore.
I actually did the axe throwing. I did. Let's see, what did they have? Axes, daggers, throwing stars, shuriken, whatever you want to call them.
I'm not allowed to use those anymore either.
I'm trying to remember what else they had. They did not allow any swordplay, sadly.
You could imagine how long that would last. Mm. Mommy, he poked out my eye.
All right, so Renfest could be arguably considered.
Yeah, you're gonna last long.
Ned Stark.
Don't do that. All right, so yeah, Renfest could be arguably considered a convention. Now there are, like I was mentioning earlier, there are of course many different styles. There are several of them in the tech scene, specifically. Unreno Tech, I know for well that you've been doing tech work, tech support, for a long time in various circles and various situations. I mean, we got acquainted originally courtesy of the guys over there at Tech Comedy. Mm-hmm. So, what are some of the... I'm trying to remember what some of the cons were. I mean, obviously there was E3 that just recently happened for video gaming.
One of the big ones is DEF CON. DEF CON's been going on longer than I've been in the tech industry. That one started way back when, and that one happens out in Las Vegas. And if you don't know what DEF CON is, don't go to it. If you do know what DEF CON is, make sure you read the FAQ so that way you can remember to not bring your cell phone and not bring your credit cards, and not give out any of your personal information with any accidentally with any bank cards that may have RFID chips in them or driver's licenses or passports. And if you have any idea of what I'm talking about, you either A, already do attend and have already taken that, or B, have read it and decided, you know what, they're way too smart, I'm way too dumb, not a chance in hell.
And there really is nothing wrong with admitting to yourself, this is a group of techies that I would be way over my head with. The bleeding edge of technology, especially security, is nothing to play around with. It is nothing to take.
Oh, it's great when the news reporters try to get it. I love that. Because they keep sending, now, ladies that are watching this, no offense, but this is what the news companies are doing, not me. They send a lady who has a nice pair of legs and a big rack who wants to make her big break, and they send her in with a wire or something that, you know, she shouldn't be doing. Like, there's wiretapping laws, there's hidden video laws and all that other crap. And or even just planning on using her cell phone to record it, whatever. But they're trying to get in unnoticed, undercover, incognito even, and they get caught. And when you get caught, you get shamed. It doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman. If you're of the press and you're trying to get in incognito, you will get caught, you will be shamed out of the event. Or you're welcome to stay and continue to get shamed. But they have rules for the event. They really do, and the rules are there for a reason. Mm-hmm. And every once in a while you get a newspaper or a television station or whatever thinks to themselves, we don't need to follow those rules.
No, of course not. We're the press. We don't need to follow rules. Come on, it's newsworthy.
These people,
we need to go ahead and do this.
These people in DEF CON, these men and women, and even children that go to DEF CON, and to give you an idea of how diverse DEF CON is, there was actually a class on lockpicking. Not digital lockpicking, but old school door locks. So that way, if somebody gets locked out of the car, they know how to get back into it. They get locked out of their house, they can get back into it. That's the premise, and that's completely legal. And in fact, you can buy...
they're locked out of your house.
Exactly. But the thing is that it's not just electronic stuff. There are a broad range of super intelligent people that go to that thing. That's why the NSA hires out of there, and the FBI hires out of there. The local police forces sometimes go looking around. And so there's even a game of spot the undercover federal agent, because there is almost always one there. And the game isn't to see who figures out, how many agents are there. No. It's a matter of how much time does it take them to find him or her.
So it's a matter of engineering. It's not just, technological, digital stuff. It's engineering in general.
Oh, in every aspect of life, whether it's people or equipment or software code. In fact, what's really amusing is that some companies are actually severely feel threatened by DEF CON.
I wonder why.
The most popular manufacturer of RFID, or not RFID, but single token generators. What is the name of that company? The little RSA. RSA was threatened by them 1 year. And somebody was going to give a talk on RSA token cracking. And they got all pissy. Somebody tried to do something on credit cards, and the credit card company got all pissy, and voting boxes. And trust me, these people are smart. They know how to get around things. So this is a convention that the average person isn't going to go to. You would probably be much more comfortable over at a Monster Con, which is for horror fiction, whether it's movies or books or comic books or whatever, even video games, or might be more comfortable at like AnthroCon, like you were talking about. Even if you're just into something like My Little Pony, or maybe you're just into collecting Beanie Babies. My understanding is that there is a branch of the furry community that isn't into wearing costumes or pretending to be some kind of mystical, to have some connection to an animal creature, but they're into collecting Beanie Babies.
I've seen guys and girls who are just fans of, Looney Tunes or whatever.
There you go.
There is nothing that says, when you go to a convention for whatever reason, be it a furry convention or a Trekkie convention, there is something that says, I'm a Trekkie, but,
there are Star Trek conventions which are strictly Star Trek.
Yeah, and usually...
And it's fun to watch the Star Wars people show up.
It's harder to just specify Star Trek. Let's say science fiction convention.
How about Dragon Con?
Yeah,
Dragon Con is like comic books, science fiction, cosplay. They're nuts at Dragon
Con. There's no one kind of person that goes to a convention.
No, but you will.
That's not
meet a lot of you will meet a lot of people who have a similar interest, and that's what's tying them together. That's right. The whole idea behind the convention is, everybody's here because they like at least one significant aspect of this particular convention. I used to go to CastleCon because I liked the medieval aspect of it. I liked the concept of armor and things like that. In fact, actually, one of the people I got to know there was an armorer. He made me a special set of weapons that I still own to this day. And I will never go around driving with them or out in public with them, because if they're in my house, that's okay. If I go out in public with them, I could get in a lot of different kinds of trouble.
One thing about conventions is you really have to be budgeting yourself, because I almost made a huge mistake at the last Ren Fair I went to, which, oddly enough, was also the first Ren Fair that I went to. Pictures of that on Facebook. Thank you very much, Shayla. Anyway,
You never buy your costume all at once. I didn't wear a costume.
I didn't wear a costume. No, what I almost broke the bank with was they had the full kit for a Roman legionary on sale at one of the armories. Mm. And we're not talking, you know, okay, somebody, you know, buttoned this together in their garage. No, we're talking completely functional armor.
Damn.
Lorica Segmenta, horsehair helmet, all of it. I believe that was marked down because it actually had been used for reenactments and stuff. And, you know, it had all the dings that you would expect, and that actually gave it character. But it was marked down, even though it was marked down, for the full kit, it was running somewhere in the ballpark of, like, $900, $1,200, something like that. And
there's a lot of vendors at the RenFest that have the old school techniques. And another example of that is that I go to the Maryland one in Annapolis because, well, it's close to where I live. So that's where I go. And it's also arguably one of the best ones in the States. Believe that. And the slide is awesome. Anyway, I had a bag, an old school bag, that belonged to, I believe it was my father's mother's. It was all leather. All leather. Was hand-stitched, gorgeous, and everything else, and one day the seam split. You don't go out to your local seamstress or, you know, shirt-pressing dry cleaner to get it fixed. So when the RenFest was in business, I went over to the guy where I get, like, a leather belt, occasional leather belt from or whatever. He does everything by hand, old school. And I brought him the bag, and I said, "Dude, can you fix this?" He's like, "Yeah." I said, "All right, send me a bill." He was like, "Are you sure?" And I said, "Make it look gorgeous and send me a bill. I'll take care of it." "Okay." He said, "I won't be able to get to it until after the festival's over." "No rush." "Okay." So 1 week after the festival's over, it comes into me in the mail, overnight, whatever. Hi, Tiger. And it looks good as new, and he's even cleaned the leather.
Beautiful.
Oh, yeah. You know how much he charged me? $50.
Beautiful. See, that's one of the things that impresses me so much about going to various conventions, including ham radio conventions, which I've been to. I've been to sci-fi conventions in New York City. I'm not proud of this, but I actually, when the original, not original exactly, but the first modern Batman movie came out with... Mm. Michael Keaton, yeah, I was one of the people that actually signed the petition that said, "Don't have a comedic actor be Batman." I was wrong. I'll admit it, I was wrong.
Jack Nicholson played a great Joker.
It could have been better, my opinion. However, I've been to several different FurCons. I have been fortunate enough to see... A computer convention or two or three, and actually be in a few. What absolutely blows my mind on a lot of occasions, no matter which one you go to, no matter what style, you will find artisans that you would not believe how good they are, and then you get the opportunity of meeting them on a regular basis, and you find out a lot more about what they do in their quote-unquote real life. Joe, I'm gonna put the camera on you for a second because I think that your reaction is gonna be best suited out of this one. There is one guy, and I've forgotten what the heck his name is off the top of my head. He does Bob the friendly slime monster tentacle whatever. Anyway,
See, here's an example of what you meet. This is a bag that was made for me. It was all, it's pixelated. Anyway, it's all hand woven together. And it was absolutely gorgeous.
Cool.
You were saying, Shrew?
Yep. The what I was finding out about this guy, even though he is admittedly a weird, occasionally kinky, occasionally more than that, artist, in his real lifetime, he does bioengineering at a company where they had, the running joke is that they make the impossible tomorrow. The thing that he told me that his group had been working on and was in the line of perfecting was freeze-dried platelets. So that if you were in a combat situation, you could take saline with you all you want, but you take blood in the field, forget about it, it ain't going to last you 5 days tops, if you're lucky. Longer if you can keep it refrigerated, which, you know, that's not going to happen. Freeze-dried platelets. Can't be done. Oh, actually, yeah, it can, and we made it happen. And tested it out on dogs and cats who, you know, in a veterinary setting, should have bled out, and survival rate was increased by 50% by using this.
So,
because it's just suddenly just there, suddenly platelets.
So in basic understanding, instant scab.
Basically, you take the saline, you start running it, and you effectively inject these freeze-dried platelets into the saline. And
okay, so it's something that's taking intravenously. It's not externally applied.
Right.
Okay.
And you can't sprinkle it on your burger.
No. Well, I don't know if you really want to. I mean, you think of it as like a desiccant, it'd be bad.
Well, you definitely would have a profound advantage over some of the stuff that we've used as of late. One of our former methods was using a chemical that caused clotting on the surface. You know, tear open the packet, sprinkle it into the wound, cause clotting on the surface. Problem was that quite often pieces of this material would break off in the wound, travel through the bloodstream, and then clot someplace like the heart.
That's bad.
Or the brain.
That's even worse.
That's very bad. Great. Another one that we were using, I forget what it was called, but it was like, it wasn't chitin, but it was a word similar to that, and it was derived from shellfish. And
it's called chitin.
I know what you're referencing, but the actual term for this material was different. Like chitin, but it was, anyway. Of course, then you run into the obvious problem. Not everybody in the military can handle shellfish. And you don't always know who can and who can't.
Wait. You can't use it on that guy. He's got a Star of David around his neck.
That aside.
Well, hey, listen, you know, holy crap and all that. You know, you want to see how ridiculous this crap is.
Look, okay, hold up a second, because there are...
We cannot use the bacon stitches on the Muslim guy.
Look, if we're going to talk about, you know, what to use on Christians, what to use on Muslims, we'll talk about the pucket gun. But until that, yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Square bullets. Square bullets. And the Muslims are like, yes, please, use the square bullets. You ain't gonna do shit. Anyway, we're not going to get into religion and the military because... I have run into a chaplain. Number one, I've run into a guy whose official religion on his dog tags was Jedi Knight. The same guy.
I like the fact that they acknowledge that. That is funny.
This same guy got married. Instead of a tuxedo, he wore a $10,000 Darth Vader costume, complete with torso light bright. To which I had to ask, was your wife dressed up as Princess Leia? And if that's the case, was there a brass bra involved? It gets better. The same guy named his son Anakin. To which I said, you realize that when he gets older and he realizes what you've done to him, he's going to kill you. And he said, no. I would have it no other way.
No. What's going to end up happening is a kid is going to get ridiculed and made fun of and everything else under the sun at when he gets to that age. And it's unnecessary.
If kids even remember what the fuck Star Wars is at that age.
Hold on, I have.
But this gets even worse because I've met an army chaplain whose official practice was Jedi Knight. Okay.
Well, it's funny enough, if we're going to overlap with religion, there are conventions for different religious sects. The Baptists, and the Mormons especially. The Mormons in Utah have got that thing they do every year, going back to Salt Lake City or whatever the frig it is.
And the subject of our discussion just a couple weeks ago, what took place at one such convention.
I'm trying to remember which one we're talking about now.
The debate.
Yes, yes. There you go. Okay, so you... Oh, Mr. Bigglesworth, there you are.
You know, this is not Red Tube. Please this is not Red Tube, Tech. Please pull your pussy off the screen.
She was meowing to get in. I closed the door when we're on broadcast.
Fair enough.
Hey, sweetie.
So,
way down.
Far as the... as far as real life on some of these people, like I said, it's amazing sometimes how different and how diverse people at a convention can be. Like I said, an artist that I know that I'm on friendly terms with, a bioengineer, some guys end up doing delivery work, some are teachers, some are actually, you know, following up artists, tree that they do with actual artistry in their real life, holy shit, you know, good on you, you can do that.
I have attended conventions where there's only been one convention where I've officially been on what is called the Artist's Alley, which is where a lot of people do artwork at the convention, like basic sketches, stuff like that. And I've done some of that, and I did it even when I was still in the military, as a combat veteran. There's another guy who... No, I don't blow up stuff often. Anyway.
Fine stuff.
We'll talk about that another time.
Okay, we can talk about it.
One such person who sadly is not with us anymore is a great guy. He was a fursuiter at furry convention. His name was, I believe, Lemonade Coyote.
Sounds familiar.
He passed away. He was an ambulance. He was an EMT operator. And he passed away when a drunk driver struck his ambulance en route to a call.
T-boned the ambulance, as I recall.
And despite everything people say about furries, the entire city of Indianapolis stood still when the ambulance serving as a hearse took him through the city before taking him to lay him to rest.
Respect.
Absolutely. And you know full well, we wouldn't have it any other way. No matter who you are, you put your life out there on the line to help other people, especially the EMS, EMT, fire, rescue, paramedic, police. It's an amazing group of people, very close-knit and very family-oriented, and you are all part of the family. Which, oddly enough, actually does kind of come for... the topic. There are conventions where these groups of people do get together. The heads of organizations get together to find out what are the newest tactics, what are the newest pieces of equipment, what works, what doesn't, what are the new regulations, what are the laws, what's not to be used, why shouldn't you use it, what's the new psychological angle. Weaponry especially, non-lethal weaponry, is a huge portion of all of that. You've heard of various things that are kind of dodgy in some respects. The Sonic... what the hell was it called? LRAD? I think is what it was called.
Are you speaking of the active denial system, or...
I think that's what it...
No, that uses microwave, excuse me.
Okay, yeah, there is that one. I remember one using there's, sound.
Yeah, there's a sound... sound's been around for quite a while. There's actually a microwave system that is designed to give make crowds feel like they're getting a sunburn.
Yeah, that's the active
denial system. And a headache at the same time. It's not supposed to kill, though, unless they decide that they're going to get closer and, like, into the more concentrated areas of it.
Yeah.
There is a system whereby instead of shooting massive quantities of bullets, they're shooting massive quantities of paintballs that are loaded with pepper powder.
Ooh. I don't know how I feel about that one.
When you get involving with chemicals there, that's where I kind of draw the line, because you never know how a chemical is going to react with someone.
Yeah, there's a very definite difference between a long shot bullet that could end up hitting someone because it's just continuing in the line of fire versus a spread out chemical. But that's you know, guns and weaponry, that is something that we will end up talking about at another time. For right now, kind of moving along, because there's a piece with this I actually did want to wrap together, which was a convention of sorts that was held here in the Buffalo area not too very long ago at the Buffalo Niagara International Convention Center. Yay, plug! Don't ask me why I was there. Where a lot of different agencies from around the region, Western New York, Southern Ontario, come down over here to talk to a whole bunch of different companies who have new snow removal equipment. Not just for highways and not just for streets, but also the ones who are dealing with airport runways and rail lines, and what kind of chemicals are they using down on the streets to not have asphalt destroy itself and eat tires and whatnot to
get rid of your car.
Or eat your car. So the like I was saying earlier, you name it, there's a confort somewhere or other. And holy crap, I did not know that this one existed, but I had the opportunity of peeking into the exhibition hall, and a snow thrower that stood the better part of two stories tall for its auger. The auger is the piece in the front with the twisty blades, two of them stacked one on top of the other, two stories tall, to go on rail lines to clear it for the trains behind it.
Only in Canada.
Well, you know what they have in Russia, don't you? In Russia, they have something that it looks akin to one of our, think of a square garbage truck. And the blade on the front is actually a scoop. There's a tube out of the back that bends off towards the gutter. And what happens is, as it moves forward through the city areas of that are high snow areas of Russia, it scoops up and sucks in the snow. The huge system in the back actually melts the snow, and then it shoots out the water out the tube, which goes into the gutters, thereby not just cleaning the streets, but disposing of the snow so that way it doesn't wind up on the sidewalk or any of the other areas.
That's pretty nifty.
And they had that back. And I was told about that by a guy from Russia, the father of the young man who I had befriended. And we shared a class together, and he was helping me learn Russian. I was helping him with his English. And that was back in, he told me about it back in 1992?
They've
been around for a while.
There are still places in Russia where they don't give it. Their anti-snow measure is just drink enough vodka till you can walk around without even giving a shit.
Well, that's why a lot of people die from that.
Yeah, but we had the mayor in Buffalo suggest that to people with the blizzard of 76, 77, 78, whatever the hell it was, and he's just like, you know, the city shut down. You know, grab a six pack, sit back, and you know, just wait it out while we do our job, and people gave him hell for it. And it's like,
and hey, if there's no road, we've got machines now that can lay a road for you.
Yeah.
Not a road crew, a friggin' machine that will lay anything from, you know, flat, even asphalt to bricks, like perfectly organized bricks.
Yeah. We still need a bridging vehicle, though.
Oh, there are those.
We'll have to call Wayne Enterprises for one of those.
We'll see about that.
Oh, no, we are not going there.
No.
Bad tech.
Going to a rampless jump.
As far as some of the other cons, however, there are a couple of them that I have not gone to that I think would be a lot of fun. For instance, a lot of us have seen Comic-Con. And one of the biggest ones, of course, is out in California. Most of the biggest ones are. Because they have the easiest access to the people who are making movies to come out and show off.
I have seen only pictures of Comic-Con, and what I have seen has made me want to go there.
I just want to go for the chance to see Dancing Deadpool.
Yeah. It's like, yes.
Did you see Deadpool took a little girl by the hand, walked her over to the guy dressed up as Pedo Bear, who had a sign around his neck that said $3, and then walked away. I was like, that's priceless.
For those of you that don't understand that reference, we're not going to explain it to you. You can look it up for your own damn self.
If you don't understand what Pedo Bear is, then you have not been on 4chan.
The internet is a wonderful place, a wonderful and scary place.
And if you do wind up on 4chan and never been there before, do not, I repeat, do not go into random. You will thank me later.
Very much so. Now, Comic-Con, there have been a lot, and I mean a lot, of videos on YouTube from Comic-Con. The cosplayers we'll come back to the cosplayers because
there's a thing about business, dude.
Hold on, we're gonna hit that in a minute because I gotta wrap that into a different piece. Comic-Con is a wonderful opportunity for a lot of the studios to come out and say, here is our new big thing that we are hoping that you will enjoy, Sharknado 3, the second coming. One of the best items that had happened see if I get his name right, was it Christopher Hiddleston played Loki? Okay.
Tom Hiddleston played Loki.
Tom Hiddleston. Okay.
Remain calm and say my name.
Yes. Tom Hiddleston came out while some of the studio guys were talking about Thor, The Dark World, I think is what it was called at the time. And he came out and positively commanded the room. I mean, you guys have seen this video, I'm assuming.
Yeah, he is one of the most loved villains out there right now.
Oh, absolutely.
And what's really funny is he actually tried out for Thor originally.
Which, unfortunately, now we have to admit that Tom Hiddleston is, in fact, a Disney prince. We'll go into that on another one. But
yes,
while we're on the topic of cosplays.
No, not yet. Not yet. Not yet. I promise you. Because there's a reason why I'm holding in reserve yet. Don't worry. I promise. I have a reason for my madness. Comic-Con, and I'm trying to remember where it was. It was Emerald City's Comic-Con. There is also a video on YouTube where you can find about a dozen voice actors. And by voice actors, I mean people that you would know from various cartoons. For instance, Animaniacs, Futurama, My Little Pony, the Powerpuff Girls, the Imaginary Friends. What the hell?
And she is such a troll on frickin' Twitter.
Oh, it's a whole other thing.
She played Bubbles on the. She did the voice for Bubbles on Powerpuff Girls.
Well, yes, amongst other things. He's thinking specifically of Tara Strong. I'm thinking of a crap ton of other voice actors who were also on at the time, including. Damn it, I forget what the hell his name was. The guy that does Batman's voice.
Conroy. Kevin Conroy.
Yeah, Kevin Conroy, yes. And they got together, and they, on stage, read the script for the original Star Wars, 1977 Star Wars, in various different voices that they do.
Bubbles was Darth Vader, and it was priceless!
It was
epic! And then they did Pinky and the Brain. Oh my god.
It was wonderful. If you have not yet looked it up.
Man.
Yes.
Deep breath.
If you haven't, very much so. If you haven't looked it up on YouTube, go looking for it. Again, it's Comic-Con, Star Wars, voice actors. You search on all that, you'll find it. It took them the better part of an hour to get through maybe a quarter of the script, but it's glorious. It's absolutely glorious.
The best thing that you can see about the special guests is when they start trolling one another. Like...
And they do.
Picard, Sir Patrick Stewart, constantly gets trolled at his convention's lectures by none other than... Oh, damn, now I forgot his name.
Brent fucking Spider-Man.
Yep.
Because they're such great friends.
If you've not seen the videos for that, I highly recommend them. I also recommend the Kickstarter video for the new Reading Rainbow that's being proposed by...
the gentleman who played Jordy LaForge in Star Trek Next Generation.
Yeah. Yeah, I actually knew his name, though. It's LeVar Burton.
Well, yeah, LeVar.
No, it's Kinte. Kunta Kinte.
And he's being backed by Seth MacFarlane. Seth basically said, hey, for the last 5 days of the Kickstarter, for every dollar that's raised, I'll add a dollar to it, up to $1 million.
There is a surprise at the end of that video, and it is very much worth it. Even if the video wasn't worth it, which it is... There's a surprise at the end that also makes it worth it.
I will have to go looking that one up. Okay. Now, as far as trolls at conventions, yeah.
Bad
if
wars,
we're going to talk about...
We're not going to go there, are we?
Wait for... No. What we're going to go for, however, is at various sci-fi conventions, you will occasionally find some of the crew... of the spaceship Firefly Serenity. And sooner or later, there is a vid of Alan Tudyk, who was Wash, got called on his phone while he's in the Q&A session, and he's up there, and he's got the microphone, and he's talking, and he's just like, oh I got to take this. This is... Hi, Nathan, you're on speaker. And for a couple of moments, Nathan Fillion is talking with Wash, with Alan, and talking about how he's bad-mouthing him on stage, and what are you doing over there in Australia, because it's Australia at the time, and, you know, where's his $10, or whatever the hell it was, and from behind one of the doors here in Sydney, suddenly... Nathan Fillion, who was not scheduled, not on the schedule, who was not supposed to be there at appearing, suddenly there, completely trolling Wash on stage. Again, on YouTube, glorious item. He has a bad habit of doing that, by the way.
One of the things that I love about a lot of conventions, just the musical performances that get their start at these kind of conventions. A good example would be Matthew Ebel. If you've ever been to a sci-fi or a furry convention, he's got some great, great performances. One that I've recently started following, I'm a fan of steampunk. And there, as I've never been to a steampunk convention, I feel a little left out on that. But there's a band who often goes to these conventions, and if you've ever gotten the chance to listen to them, you know who I'm talking about. If you haven't, go look up Steam Powered Giraffe sometime. I guarantee you won't be disappointed. Because these guys managed not just combine, you know, steampunk with music, but performance art in general. I mean, we're talking, you know, they do their own makeup, their own outfits.
Yep.
We're talking pantomime, everything. It's fantastic. I highly recommend it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And that's another one. Steampunk, lots of stuff. Again, a lot of artisanal stuff. A lot of people talking about stuff. History buffs, like you wouldn't believe. Exploratory historians, I guess is the best way to put it. What would things be like now if, you know, things had turned out differently and we were still Victorian era style, but we had scientific discovery now.
Hell, the granddaddy of all conventions, the World of Tomorrow.
Yes, very, very much so.
Or the World's Fair.
Yeah, which... the World's Fair, for those of you that are kind of wondering how far back does the World Fairs go, way back. If you go watch Men in Black on your Betamax, because, of course, steampunk is the kind of thing, you would see where the flying saucer crashes back down after they've shot it. That's the World's Fair from Brooklyn, 1965, I believe it was. Anyway, the piece that I wanted to hit as the very last, because it really wraps up the cosplay piece in an incredible bundle. Never mind Comic-Cons. Never mind Anthrocon or any of the other fur cons, which, don't get me wrong, if you go to a fur con and you're expecting to see, like, really crappy mascot outfits, no. You want to see a crappy mascot outfit? Go to a ball field. Go to a football game. Go to a baseball game. You'll see crappy by comparison to most of the stuff at a fur con.
And if you want to see some really good makeup, go to a porn convention. And I don't mean like one where people are trading magazines. I'm talking about where you go to the ones that are in other countries, like in Argentina or Amsterdam or whatever, where they bring in all the porn stars and starlets, and they actually go through movie ratings and send out awards and whatnot. They will have manufacturers of makeup and toys and everything else there. And you can actually, surprisingly, go to one of these conventions and learn how to apply makeup to enhance assets or to detract from away from an area, and to do so in such a way that if you were, pick up and become that such caliber, you could work on a movie set of almost anybody. Because honestly, enhancing somebody's eye lines, it doesn't matter whether it's a porno or professional movie, it needs to be done.
Yeah, it's all the same stuff.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
If you were wondering just how far back the World Expo goes, the first one could be argued at 1851 in the United Kingdom.
Nice.
Yeah,
the only thing that I remember was that we had one over here at the turn of the 20th century, and we shot and killed the sitting United States president. Sorry. Anyway, he was fat. He had it coming. Anyway, so... As far as to cosplay, which is a shortened version, for those that don't know, for whatever reason, costume play. You get dressed up as a character. And it doesn't necessarily need to be one that you look like, but you make yourself look like. It could be a comic book character. It could be a movie character. It could be a TV character. It could be a beast or animal of some sort. It could be some avatar of some kind or other. There have been people who have dressed up, as was mentioned, as Deadpool, as various superheroes. Lots of different ones. There are amazing numbers of people out there who are absolutely fabulous at what they do. Some who are borderline professional impersonators that way. But arguably, the granddaddies of the cosplay world, in my opinion, the various anime conventions. You will be hard-pressed to find people of a higher caliber for just doing themselves up, making their own outfits in some cases, and going out there and putting on the presentation that they are portraying whatever anime character it is.
They have some of the best, and they also have some of the worst.
This is true.
It's also become a business, too. There are people out there who are so good at what they do costume-wise.
Oh, God, yes.
They're actually hired out to do other people's costumes.
Exactly.
They're hired out by professional industries.
Exactly that point. Just for here in Pittsburgh, since AnthroCon is here, there are a lot of folks who go to AnthroCon that go to the school that I go to, which is the Art Institute of Pittsburgh. And they do everything from graphic design and animation to, I think the official term is industrial design, mm-hmm. but they do stuff for, they do costumes. There's actually been a team from the Art Institutes who, there was a reality show, Iron Chef or something, but it was people making costumes, like monster. What was it called?
It'll come to you. Let it go.
No, now I need to look it up.
I love it when this happens.
Oh darn it! What was it called?
Biscuit, get out from behind her.
Well, this is great. You're trying to talk to your pussy. You're trying to look up stuff on the internet, and I can see it going through on your glasses. And me, I'm just trying to wrangle the whole damn thing together.
She gets behind my desk, and I've got my cables back there, and she starts trying to play with the cables. And it's like, no, don't do that. You're going to bring the whole damn system down.
I guess it is just called making monsters. But they make, everything from fantasy to horror film get-ups. Everything from just, little bits and pieces that you put on your face to full animatronic suits.
There's some amazing stuff.
Yeah, somebody did an Iron Man where if you remember in the original Iron Man movie, where it had the layers of parts that could actually flex, down by the calf muscles and behind the shoulders, and his suit actually has those parts move.
Yeah.
And then he has the gloves that light up when he opens them up, and then the mask comes down and fits into place or pops back out again.
Yeah, they're control surfaces, because originally, according to the new movies, the suit was originally in his head as designed for, manned flight without having, the aircraft.
Right. And then the other thing is that this guy, this isn't just one iteration of the suit this guy's done. He keeps improving upon it year after year after year. So I think he's up to Mark 8 or something like that. And by the way, the original Iron Man, he was basically made out of the equivalent of steel and lead. There was a lot of iron. He had the whole chest plate was providing a magnetic field. There was nothing implanted in his chest. I have the original comics that started it. He was in Vietnam, and it was top hat transistors.
some of the best cosplays you'll ever see. Rather a random reference, go look up a Doctor Who convention. There is a group of people who have constructed their own Dalek suits, which they sit in. It's almost like a wheelchair, and, you know, it goes around. They obviously can't go upstairs, but it's perfect, because the conversations you have that they have with you are just priceless.
And they've got the voice changers, and the ears light up. And I've seen some of these.
Just remember, if you see somebody dressed up as a angel statue, just don't blink.
Yes, that's very, very much so. Yes. Now, really quickly, because we're running out of time. And for those of you that have been watching live, thank you very kindly. If you've got a question that you'd like us to hit really fast, we've only got a couple more minutes that we're scheduled to be on. Take advantage of the Q&A and hit us on something on this really
quickly.
Damn
it, why are atheists so angry?
Probably because you've been burning us for the last 1,500... No, wait. That's not tonight. 2 weeks. 2 weeks.
No, there was a comic I recently saw, and I believe it was on Seth Andrews' Facebook page. I can't remember where I saw it, but it was... some atheist was being burned at the stake, and I still don't believe in your God. And one priest turned to the other and goes, why are atheists so angry? Or militant, or something like that. I was like, really? This is fabulous.
I'm not angry and militant because I'm an atheist. I'm angry and militant because, well, I was trained to be angry and militant.
Actually, I was expecting you to see because you're an asshole, but you, okay,
well, that too.
I'm not an asshole.
I'm not an asshole because I'm an atheist.
You're an asshole because you're an asshole. Right, that's exactly it.
Hey, listen, I used to love people, and then I met people.
Yeah, it kind of works that way. So, really, really quickly, like I said, some of the best costume players you will find will be at anime cons. Some amazing, absolutely amazing people. And then you will end up seeing
Zoo?
Sailor Bubba Moon.
I'm sorry. The only Sailor Moon ones that I like to see are the ones that are done on the professional cosplay porn sites.
No.
Because they use the right body type for that.
Nope. Now I need to find something to go along with that. Oh, dear God.
Yeah, Sailor Bubba Moon Bubba Sailor Moon, Sailor Moon Bubba, whatever the heck.
Oh,
it is.
Oh no, the name just sounds wrong.
You'll see what I'm talking about in just a moment.
Is this one of the ones where I have to prep the brain bleach?
Yes, you do.
Possibly.
Oh shit.
Let me get the screen share working and make sure that I'm looking at the right thing.
Is this so bad? Is this one of the ones that nobody ever wants to rule 34 on?
Well, here's the thing. Here is... I wish the screen share thing would stop bouncing around. Okay, here is cosplay done right.
Yes.
If it stops flashing.
Why is it flashing?
I don't know. There we go. Okay, that's the cosplay that Chutin's talking about. That's cosplay done right.
Yeah.
And then there's
porn versions of her. Oh!
Tech, is there something you're trying to tell us?
That's not me. That is not me.
You say that now.
Dude, my beard is more epic than his.
That's a good point on that. But yeah,
I accept full responsibility for any trauma that may have been caused.
But
I do not accept responsibility for any women who are currently have boyfriends or engaged or married that come over and stroke my beard and leave me for their men.
There you go. For what it's worth, though, those of you that want to go ahead and dress in whatever outfit. Have at it. Seriously, it may not look like you should be. But ultimately, it doesn't matter what other people have to say about it, because the only person you need to make happy is you. And if people don't like it, who cares? Really.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Got a couple of items over here really quickly that we're going to hit. Anne, who has been watching part of the night, and thank you very kindly. I hope that you had at least some good information about it. Anne is saying, can make chainmail armor. That is, from what I've understood, not an especially difficult thing to learn how to do, but it takes a lot of time, and it takes a lot of...
It's not difficult to learn, it's just difficult to do. As in, you can learn how to link, you know, a couple pieces of chain together, but linking them so that they make an entire shirt, different story.
It's not just that, guys. You're skipping on another part. I actually spent time with an armorer over at CastleCon. And there are specific patterns that you must remember and utilize, depending on whether or not you need to make an angle with the links for the shoulder joints, or whether you're trying to reinforce a particular area, like around the abdomen. There's actually a way to link them up and get extra reinforcement, but that limits movement, so you use it for the more flatter areas and the wider areas for that. So, yeah, it's something that you can learn. If you could probably learn it after a couple lessons. You could learn the patterns. But to sit there and literally chomp out ring after ring after ring, and then the manipulation of the rings, well, I was sitting there with a pair of vice grips and pair of pliers, and I spent an hour, and I think I made probably about a 4-inch square of the main chest area, the one that was being reinforced.
Yeah. So, not downplaying by any stretch of the imagination what you do. It's just a matter of that, like I said, it's an easy thing to understand what you're supposed to do, the basics.
You can look at it and go, oh, that looks easy, but it's not.
Right. Just like with everything else, it's deceptively simple because you start off with a copper, I forget exactly what the term is for it.
The guy who I was working with was using a spring steel that was shaped into a very tightly, densely coiled spring, and he actually made it himself because he was a blacksmith armor.
Oh, nice.
And he had to literally snip each ring.
Yeah. Yeah. Brazing rods, that's what I was looking for. Copper brazing rods. One way that I've seen it done was wrapping it as tightly as you can around a number two pencil. And I say number two because, you know, there's also the rectangular construction pencils, but nobody uses that, so the fuck.
I do.
Or number one pencil. So, you know what? If you've got one, congratulations.
If you've got a number three, well, you're soft.
Thank you. Just didn't need that. And you wrap it on the pencil, tight as you can, like it's a spring. Take the pencil out, and then get your shears and try and cut through and hope to hell that you got it right. And then, all right, now this one gets together with this one. This one gets together with this one. This one has to be with two. This is okay. And just I don't get it. I mean, I've done counted cross stitch. And the idea of making these links, squeezing them back together again, and putting them all together, I don't get that. I don't get that people can do that by memory.
And the other part is when you're cutting when you're actually cutting each ring out of the spring design, it's real easy to just butt up to the last cut, you know, where the last coil ends, and that way you always have the correct length of the circle. But if you don't butt up against it, you're going to have the wrong length, which means you're going to have a gap, which means it's going to fall out. And having sat there for an hour, I think probably about one out of every dozen to two dozen, I oopsed.
Mm. See, yeah. Back when I was in the military, I had a bit of disposable income, as seen with my many firearms. When it comes to armor, hell, I've got my own Kevlar with ballistic plating. So
there you go.
Nice.
Yep. And Tiger Lily, also thank you, hun. Is asking, is there a way I can follow the show that you guys are going to do at the zoo? Now, I need to explain this. This next week, which is the 4th of July weekend, for those of you that are not part of the United States, we kicked ass from Great Britain back in the 4th of July a long time ago. You probably hadn't heard about it. We did it a long time ago before it was cool to, you know, kick out the ruffians. Anyway, we're going to be, several of us are going to be at Anthrocon in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, at the David L. Lawrence Convention Center. I am going to be recording my show, my Wednesday night radio stream, from the zoo somehow. There's a power thing that I've got to try to figure out, but anyway. Unfortunately, no, you won't be able to follow it live while it's happening. However, like I said, I am going to be recording the show, and it will be played back the following 2 weeks on Wednesday nights. So it'll be the first 2 hours, and then the last 2 hours, because I'm doing 2 hour shows.
It's his show, and the rest of us show up every now and then. I bring him sandwiches.
Yeah.
I won't be there.
That's okay.
Now, sometimes as far as a Minotaur on the back of the motorcycle.
Yes. Now, unfortunately, next week, Holy Crap will not be on 4th of July weekend, because we're going to be, like I said, we're going to be in the convention center at in Pittsburgh, so we will not have net access, we will not be able to do it. There will be other stuff going on.
And I will be out letting women stroke my beard.
Funny you should say that.
Because that actually happened yesterday.
Oh, did it now?
Yeah, some woman came up and said, "Wow, I really like your beard." And I said, "I do too. It's so fluffy." And I did the "It's so fluffy" thing from Despicable Me. And she goes, "It's really fluffy?" And I said, "Yes." And she's like, "Can I touch it?" And I was like, "Yes." And so she's like, "It's so fluffy." And I said, "I know." And she's like, "How did you do that?" And I told her, "You know, I just use the same shampoo I use on my hair, I use on my beard. That makes it nice and soft."
See.
And meanwhile, her boyfriend is giving me the stink eye. So like I said, gentlemen, I am not responsible if your ladies come flocking up to me to stroke my beard. Nor am I responsible if they leave you for it.
I unfortunately still shave regularly because habit. But also, the fact that for me to grow a beard of significant, you know, respectability would be a painful process, because while it's growing in, I've got scars, particularly along my jawline, where, you know, hair doesn't grow. And, you know, I look like, you know, Shaggy from Scooby-Doo, or, well, I can't even claim that because it's uneven in all the wrong places, so.
See, my problem is I used to try to shave every single day, and my skin reacted poorly to it. I went to like the men's there's a company that specifically is tailored to men's shaving products and solving every kind of problem possible with all their products, so that you could shave every single day, you know, whether it's a skin sensitivity or a chemical sensitivity or you name it. They have a solution for you. And in fact, if you can find one of the local stores, you can actually try their solution and actually shave right there and everything else. And I found by switching to an old-fashioned straight-edge razor, I could shave every other day using their oil and their foam and everything else. I could manage to shave every other day with no reaction. But unfortunately, that meant every other day I was also covered with 5 o'clock shadow. My company doesn't like that, but my company allows beards. Guess what? I grow a beard.
Gonna love it how that happens. I'm looking for a particular... Damn it. There was a couple of pictures that I was looking for that I can't seem to find off the top really quickly. But be that as it may, I know they're in there somewhere. It's just a question mark of where. I'm going to show you guys a couple of real quick pictures. So I can talk and scan all at the same time. I really can.
Ooh, and while we're talking about pictures, ladies, you send me pictures of your boobs, and I will send you pictures of my high-resolution pictures of my beard.
The staff and management of Holy Crap the Vlogcast do not endorse in any way, shape, or form this poor pervert's idea of what's fun.
Oh, come on, that was funny.
It's neither here nor there. You know what? I can't seem to find the particular item that I am looking for at the moment. Damn it. That is really, really weird. I do not know where it went to. It didn't well not.
Was it Sailor Moon with a beard?
No. It was one of the... It was one of the pictures that I had taken at...
Anthrocon?
At Anthrocon, yeah. I'm going to have to figure out where the hell that went to. All right, anyway. Couple quick pictures for everybody. There you go, starting over here. This was from 2010. This was the furry femme shoot that I had taken over. The fursuiter who had been doing the fursuit of a character known as Zigzag had been holding an unofficial event at Anthrocon specifically for the people who had fursuits of female characters. The idea was basically just to get them separate from everybody else so that they would have an opportunity of having a photo shoot just for them without having, for lack of a better way of putting it, a bunch of freaks and pervies all over them. So I've been fortunate enough to take over since she's not been able to come up to Anthrocon for the last couple of years. I'm continuing to host it, and it's been wonderful. And yes, Joe's helped. This one over here is one of my favorite shots from them, because those were some of the folks that I just positively adore them. Bridget the Mouse over here. I've forgotten who everybody is off the top of my head. However, in the white here is Rin the Dragon, who is an absolute doll. She's wonderful. And the blue-haired zebra over here is Lauren. And at one time she had the Zigzag fursuit. It has since passed it on to someone new and was the person who started the fursuit, the furry femme photo shoot.
Anyway. I have a second life character for when I go into Second Life to listen to your Wednesday night show. And for those that don't know, it's a rhinoceros dressed in a mobster's zoot suit.
Perfect by me.
He even carries a Tommy gun. There you
go. All right. This photo I love. I've spoken about Roswell Park. This is the entryway, and I cannot speak highly enough of them.
Kind of looks like a school entrance.
It could appear as such. I have never seen it as that. But, you know, that's just me. And the last is this. Friday night, I will be doing the Furry Femme shoot. Saturday night, I will be recording my show. But Saturday morning, I'm going to be inviting people to come and join me for Breakfast with Fred. And this is an image that was built, a sculpture of Fred Rogers, Mr. Rogers.
Won't you be it's, my neighbor?
Exactly.
I was there for that.
You were. And I'm very, very proud that you were.
And on that note, I had actually intended to give this to you last year. I had forgotten. But I have something for you.
Sorry.
I also have something for the little one. But this one is specifically for you.
And that would be? Thank you.
Thank you. That is very, very kind. Proud of you.
Life lessons from my friend, Fred Rogers.
Mr. Rogers, for those that grew up after or did not grow up with him, Fred Rogers was a wonderful person. He was a beautiful influence on children for several decades. He was an ordained, if memory serves, Presbyterian minister. He was not a Navy SEAL. He did not have tattoos.
He was not a Marine sniper. Serve.
He was someone who believed in children, who believed in teaching them that it's okay to cry, that it's okay to feel, to be scared, to be inquisitive. He
taught me how to make homemade peanut butter.
And for those of you who remember a fad that was going on for a while called yarn bombing.
Yeah. And here's the other thing. If you really want to get an idea of what Mr. Rogers was like, there. Oh, wow, cool.
This is yarn bombing done right.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, Mr. Rogers was known for his sweaters. Anyway, if you want to get a really good idea of what Mr. Rogers was like, there is video out on YouTube that where he's actually speaking to political representatives about his show's program and his goals.
Yep. If memory serves, if this is the one I'm thinking of from like the late 70s, early 80s, he was testifying about the use of video recording systems for television so that kids would be able to watch the shows with their parents at a time that was convenient for them. And he made an eloquent argument to say, look, just let families be together when they can be together so they can share the lessons and they can talk it through.
And oh, I think, this was the VHS stuff, wasn't it?
Yes, because were it not for Mr. Rogers' influence, it's possible that video recording as we know it, the VCR, would not have been allowed simply because of copyright issue.
Betamax had its problems because the designer of Betamax put so much restrictions on it.
That's a whole other issue.
Right.
The idea of recording over the air signal was a question of copyright, and that's part of what he was talking about. The influence that Mr. Rogers has had on young children growing up is palpable. It is easy to see people who knew what Fred was like, because it's so hard for us to call him Fred. It's just, it's Mr. Rogers.
Okay, but no more meowing to get back to him.
But
okay, so
it's hard to overstate how wonderful this gentleman was. And he was a gentle man. He's beautiful.
Before we get too far off the track of conventions, this is one. I believe this was my second convention that I'd gone to.
Very likely.
And for those of you who were confused about the whole Minotaur on the back of a motorcycle thing, there's photographic proof.
Dude, that's awesome.
Yeah.
And on that same motorcycle, I have a picture of this gentleman.
A bald-headed triple.
I have other less flattering pictures of him, but I will
see. Yeah, we don't need to see Rule 34 of a triple.
No, not that.
No.
Just him making some unflattering hand signals.
Well, he's from New York. What do you expect? Hey, can't you see I'm walking here?
Yeah,
go, Anthony!
I can honestly say I've never used that line in public. During the day.
You've used it on air.
Shut up.
I've used it in public.
You know what? This is about the time when I go ahead and say, it's about that time to wrap it up.
I used it in Virginia.
Because, first off, of course, I do apologize for the network issues. I have no idea what happened. All I know is that we at least got through and we're finished and we're here. So thank you for putting up.
And we totally took advantage of your show while you were off the air.
Appreciate that. Thank you very much.
By we, he means he.
Yes, I figured as much. Anyway, the show, as I mentioned, Holy Crap will not be on next week for the 4th of July weekend. The following week, however, we will be back. And at this time, Jake Farwarton is scheduled to be with us at that time.
We're getting Jake back on again.
We're supposed to have this happen this time. He is busy today. He's babysitting. So, Jake, if you happen to be watching, by some whim of the imagination...
What a lame excuse.
Yeah, that too. So, Tech, of course, as always, thank you very much for your time tonight. You have yourself a good evening.
Thank you so much, guys, for actually letting me stay on the show despite all the chaos and havoc that I cause all the time. And remember, ladies, if you want beard pics, you know what I want.
Good idea, Bob.
I have nothing to say. Except, in honor of the Lapsed Church of the Holy Memory, in the name of the left breast, the right, and the holy cleavage, it's be with you.
Wait, what? Huh?
Don't worry, we'll have a full transcript on the fourth Tuesday of next week. We'll come back to that later, I promise you. In any event, of course, as always, everybody, thank you for joining us, and thank you for paying attention to the very end. If you like what we do, please drop a message. You can send me a message over at shootandtribble@gmail.com. Please put holy crap in the subject line so that I know that you're, like, you and not a bot. And those of you that would like to send me messages of a theistic nature, and I'm starting to get some, please, by all means, do so. I enjoy reading over this stuff. I love trying to understand what it is that some people are trying to get across to me. Trying to use a third-generation leftover Google translation system in order to try to tell me that Pascal's wager is right is a fun and wonderful thing. So please, keep those coming.
Just remember, he won't destroy you or rip you apart. That's what Tech and I are here for.
But in the meantime, in all seriousness, yes, I have gotten a couple of emails. It's fine, as a matter of fact. People can go ahead and email me whatever they want, and I will not respond as a troll. I will not think of it as trolling from you guys. By all means, because there may be, as outlandish as we might think it to be, there may actually be an argument out there that does change my opinion. And I'm not going to find it if I completely poo-poo and discount everybody that comes across. Feel free. Give me your shot. If you've got something that you think is worthwhile, share it with me. I actually do invite you to go ahead and do that. Feel free. But if you're wrong, and if I can show you that you're wrong, at least have the honesty to look over what I tell you. I am not a PhD. None of us are schooled in a lot of this stuff that we end up talking about. We talk about things that we have opinions about, and what we think about a particular topic. But if you're going to go ahead and you're going to ask me to invest 2 hours of my life in a video discussion on something where you could just go ahead and say, here is the best discussion point for it all, I'm going to point you to my 15-minute video that says, why I'm an atheist. And I'm going to ask you to invest 15 minutes there, and you'll get 2 hours of my time there. But if you're not going to even bother that much, if I take your email and your comments and I drag them over the coals in public for everybody to laugh at, don't be surprised when you get a whole bunch of people laughing at you in your own inbox. Okay? Okay.
Complaints can be sent to.
Complaints can be sent to me. And if you don't like it, I can send you to Helen Hunt.
Hey, you know, if you don't like it, you can just take the advice that I've heard so many times before. Complaint departments on the 6th floor.
At the end of a plank, as a matter of fact.
I thought it was the 13th floor.
Dude, I'm in a two-story house. Complaint
departments
on the 6th floor.
So if you can get there, wonderful. What are you doing?
I'm going to show my complaint department.
I think I know what your complaint department looks like.
Is that the one with the grenade with the little pull tab on it? Yep.
There it is.
That one's funny.
Dude, don't spoil the joke next time. Don't spoil the joke.
I didn't spoil it.
You spoiled the joke. Don't spoil the joke.
How many militant atheists know what a grenade looks like?
I do.
Depends on which grenade you're talking about.
Yes, I know. If you're talking about the mixed drink, most of them probably.
That's a good point.
But fun fact, before we go, grenade comes from the French word for pomegranate, which is what original grenades kind of resembled.
Good fact for later.
Fun fact, if somebody pulls the pin and throws it, run like hell.
Another fun fact, every bullet may have a name on it, but grenades are addressed to whom it may concern.
With that, it is time. Thank you all for joining us. And, of course, email responses are wonderful. Follow me pretty much everywhere that you want to. On most social medias, you will find me under the name Shujin Tribble. Could be under one word, could be under two. In any case, we look forward to seeing you again. I wish you all, of course, as always, the peace I no longer have. I wish you the strength that I've learned. I wish you well. And, of course, I say my goodnights for you, and I say my goodnights for my lady. Because 9 years on, I am still in love. Matsune Fujin, I love you and I miss you. Dream of me. Until the very next time we get together, everyone, as always, thank you. And good night.
Peace out, homies.
You've been listening to Holy Crap, the Vlogcast. Feel free to leave a comment on the show's website at holycrapthevlogcast.com, where you'll also find links to our Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Google Plus pages. Theme music provided by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com. On behalf of all of us here, thank you for listening.